For me, a good acoustic guitar string really lets the instrument speak. I've been playing D'Addario strings pretty much since I first started to play. I don't have to worry about them dying after one show. I just like the way they sound.
So my buddy John Osborne of the Brothers Osborne, he hit me up and he told me about an act that he's producing, Grace Bowers. And she's a young guitarist from California who is, I've kind of seen her around Nashville. She just like, you know, one of those players that kind of suddenly shows up everywhere. She's one of those players. So John said, come over to the studio, check her out. And she's great. So we shot a rundown of her making her album over at John's studio. And I think you're really going to enjoy it. With no further ado, here is Grace Bowers. John Bollinger with Premier Guitar. We're at Pine Box Studio and with Grace Bowers. Grace, thanks so much for, I know you're tracking and it's busy, but I'm so glad you let us come in, invade your space and, you know, talk about the whole thing.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, so I have only seen you play this guitar.
Yeah, actually my mom bought it for me at Guitar Center when I was 9 years old.
Oh, really?
No. I got this guitar 2 years ago. At when I went to New York, and I was doing some session work, and at the end of it, the guy who was having me do it comes up with a guitar case and says, "This is for you." And at that point, I didn't like own a nice guitar or anything. I mean, I had some great guitars, but it was nothing like this is a 1961 SG.
So, yeah.
I opened it up, and this guitar was in there, and I almost started crying because it was just my dream guitar.
Right.
And I pretty much only play it like at shows. This is the only guitar I'll play for like 2 hours straight. So
yeah, I get
really
it.
It's special.
Well, and okay, so it's kind of amazing that you just ended up with the perfect guitar in this sort of, I don't know, like destiny.
Yeah.
Cause that little 1961 neck has got to feel so comfortable, right?
It does. Yeah. It has a super duper thin neck. And everyone who plays it always complains about how low the action is, but I actually really like that.
Yeah.
They also always say it needs a refret, but I kind of like the dull frets on it too.
Yeah.
So it's meant to be.
Yeah, perfect. And I like that the whammy bar, not hooked up, but still always at the ready.
Yeah, actually, that's because when I got it, it didn't have it on, but it came with the 61 case too.
Oh.
And I opened it up and this was just sitting in there, like even the screws.
Oh, that's great.
So, and then underneath it, the paint is more red than the rest of it.
Love that.
So it looked like kind of naked without it. So
sure.
I put it back on, but I just didn't string it up because there's probably a reason someone took it off in the first place.
Right, right. And, you know, I mean, you're a player that gets such, you know, vibrato and feel just with your fingers that would.
Yeah, it's not, wasn't necessary.
Yeah. Is so all stock as far as you know, looks like?
As far as I know, yeah, except for the tuners, but even the tuners look super old, so.
Right, yeah, they look authentic, but those old ones like that do kind of disintegrate, and it's...
Well, yeah, I don't know if you can see it on the camera, but it's like literally coming off of the neck.
Yeah.
We'll probably need to be fixed at some point.
Yeah, right, right. Yeah, yeah, backstage, right, 10 minutes before you go on.
Yeah, just tuners fall off.
Yeah. Okay, well, that is fabulous. That is your main. So, on your album you're doing right now with John Osborne, mm-hmm. you're tracking primarily with that, but you've got a couple others to go to?
Yeah. Actually, that's kind of funny you say that because I've been using this 335 more than my SG.
Oh.
I don't know why. They kind of feel very similar. It's just
Because that's a 1960 as well, right?
I think so, yeah, 1960.
Yeah. So yeah, probably has a similar neck profile. Well, let's see that thing. Let's
It is not mine. It's John Osborne's guitar that he's been letting me use. And
that's a good producer.
Yeah, we've recorded 3 songs on it so far.
Oh, wow. Great.
We're entirely this guitar.
So big adjustment going from that tiny body to that big one.
Yeah, when I don't adjust my straps when I'm setting up with it. It's like up to here on me.
Right, right. Yeah.
It is cool though, because it has such a different sound, the humbuckers versus the P90s on here. And it serves some songs better than the SG would, which is why I've been using it.
Sure. Well, let's hear that thing a little bit. What a cool contrast, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So okay, so I've watched you play a lot with the pick and a lot with your fingers. Does it kind of go back and forth, or?
Yeah, there's always a pick in my hand. Like even if I don't use the pick, it's always in my hand. It is a subconscious thing that happens, though. Like I don't think about switching back and forth. It's kind of just something. Like no one taught me that. It's kind of just something I've always done.
Sure.
But I do it because it gets such a different sound, like a drastic difference between the two. Like, so if I want like a softer, kind of cleaner touch, I'll finger pick it.
Yeah.
And then I use it a lot to like when I'm building a solo, I'll usually always start out finger picking, and then, you know, by the time, like at the peak of the solo, that's when I'll bring out the pick to really like kind of dig in more.
Sure. What picks do you use?
I don't know what pick this is because has nothing on it.
You're not like real loyal to one.
No, I usually use thicker picks.
Yeah.
I can't use bendy ones because.
Sure.
I don't know. I just can't.
Yeah. No, I totally get it.
But yeah, I'm not too picky about my picks.
How about strings? Do you have any preference on strings?
I use Daddario 10s on everything. Yeah.
Standard of the industry.
Yeah.
That's great.
I used to be really obnoxious about using 11s on everything.
Yeah.
And then I put 10s on my SG. I'm like, oh my God. What am I doing?
Yeah, right. What was I doing? Right. Yeah, that's a workout.
Yeah.
And that little SG, it just looks like it's going to
fold
in on itself. Yeah. Well, that's great. Okay, and you've got another tracking guitar here that looks pretty cool. Can we see this thing?
Yep.
This little thing. Hey, y'all. I'm John Bollinger with Premier Guitar. So our rig rundowns for a long time now have been sponsored by Daddario. And I'm thrilled to be using the Daddario Expand pedal board. I've got this little guy that fits in my gig bag, and like many of you, I'm changing pedals all the time. I love having a board that can shrink as I'm shrinking my board or expand as I'm expanding it. And that's why I love the Expand pedal board. Their patented telescoping technology lets me instantly change the size of my pedals playground. It also features a unique cable management system and comes fitted with loops of Velcro, keeping everything neat and easy to swap. The 2 Expand versions comes with either 1 or 2 rows, depending on your needs. So a big thanks to Daddario. Now, let's get back to more rig rundowns. Okay, Grace, well, tell me about this guitar.
This is a 59 Les Paul named Gemini from Cesar's personal collection.
Wow.
That he is letting me borrow for a song.
Great. So Cesar is the CEO at Gibson,
right,
the guy who is running the whole ship and doing amazing work right now. God. Okay. So have you ever played this guitar before?
I have, actually. I played it, it's been a while. It's probably like a year and a half ago when I played this guitar last.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's hear what that thing does.
You mind if I turn?
Oh, no, no. Dude. So far, right now, up to this point, you've just been straight into your amp, which we'll get into a little bit later.
Dirt on it.
Yeah, here's this thing does. That's great. Yeah, I love it. How cool that you got friends that can, you got your own vintage guitar, but you have friends that have these other amazing ones. Golly. Yeah, it's so great. So hard to imagine that in 1959, when that thing rolled out of the factory, it was a cherry sunburst and it just faded down to that honey colored cow. What a great guitar. Wow. Okay. So when you're tracking, how does it go? Do you just kind of listen to the song and think, oh, I'll try this one? Or
You mean like in terms of which guitarist to use?
Yeah.
Well, we've played these songs live so often that like we're all pretty familiar with them. So there hasn't really been much trial and error.
It's yeah.
More just like I hear this guitar on it and that. Yeah. We're going to use that guitar because it's going to serve the song. But this one I did have a certain song in mind for to use, which is actually going to use that 12 string right next to you.
Oh, cool.
So I feel like, because it's going to be more of an acoustic, kind of like more Doobie Brothers, Allman Brothers vibe. So I feel like this guitar paired with that, like clean tone, this guitar.
Yeah.
Paired with this will sound really, really great.
Oh, yeah. Love that. Okay. So what's the story on this one, on this 12?
This is I believe a 1968 Gibson 12 string, which also is not mine. It's a friend of mine who goes to Belmont had no space in his dorm for it and was like, can I just leave this at your house? I'm like, you can absolutely leave that at my house.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Leave it forever. Oh, that's great. Okay. Love that. Okay, and this, will there be any other acoustics on the album, or is this?
Yeah, this one.
Yeah, okay, good. And the rest are just rocking electric.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, great. Okay, now, right now we're in the control room, and your amp is above us.
Mm-hmm.
What amp are you running right now?
That is a Fender Reverb Deluxe,
okay.
I think. Brand new. I've had it only for a few months now.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's probably like the only not vintage thing I'm using.
Sounds great though.
Yeah, it sounds awesome.
Yeah, okay. And I mean, John's got that whole stack of stuff.
Yeah.
But I love that you're going with your tried and true deluxe. Okay, that's great. And on the floor, you've got a very modest pedal board.
Mm-hmm.
Let's kind of go through it. What do you what all do you have?
I don't really know a lot about pedals. I used, for like years, I would play, because I sit in with people in Nashville like all the time,
mm-hmm.
and I never had a pedal board with me. So I would be relying on whatever amp they had up on stage.
Sure.
And I learned my lesson very fast that doesn't always work out.
Right.
So I'm like, I need something that I can have some control over when I'm in an uncontrolled situation.
Yeah.
So at first it was just this Nightshade wah pedal, and then I have an Echoplex that's sitting over there that we took off right now. So it was just those three pedals.
So the Nightshade Overdrive?
Yes.
Tell me about that. I'm not familiar with that pedal.
Yeah, it's just, I wasn't familiar with it either, actually. It's just an overdrive, but I like it because I actually just got this blue pedal called, a Tone Job. Because I used to just use this one and have it on all the time.
Yeah.
And since I use my volume knobs on the guitar So often I would usually be playing most of the time with it at like 3 or 4 mm-hmm. for like a cleaner tone. And then when I needed to get some more dirt out of it, I would just turn it up.
Sure.
But I put this blue pedal on there because it kind of rounds it out a bit. So I don't always have to have this one on. And then when I turn this one off to go to this one, the volume difference isn't so drastic.
Sure.
So these two are the two that I like always have on.
Yeah. Okay. So you run both of them on most of the time together?
Most of the time. When I'm playing rhythm, it's just this one on.
Oh,
and then
okay.
Leads, I'll switch to this one.
Let's hear the tone job a little bit just by itself. Do you want to keep playing on Gemini, or do you want to go back to your SG?
Let's do the 335.
Oh, yeah. Good idea. Okay, so now 335 going into the Earthquaker device mm-hmm. tone job. Let's hear what this is. I love it. Yeah. Very subtle.
Super subtle. Honestly, if I didn't tell you I had this on, you probably wouldn't notice. But it's really just there to round out this pedal, I feel like. And volume, too.
Okay. Well, let's hear those two. Let's hear you unleash hell with both those on at once. See what that does. Sounds great. And I love this studio because you can actually hear, I mean, you're right by that amp.
Yeah.
It's up there, but you can kind of get that mm-hmm. feedback going. It's not.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, so much better. You know, when your amp is boxed off in a little room. And
yeah, I told John specifically, I'm not recording anything if I have to put headphones on.
Yeah.
Because I just, it's just not the same.
Yeah.
I have to be able to hear the amp while I'm recording.
Yeah.
So this was a good solution.
Right. And John's
yeah.
like, I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Okay. All right. So those pedals and the Crybaby mm-hmm. in white, which I have not seen, but it's very cool.
Yeah. I haven't seen it in white either, honestly. This was something that
they just sent
Dunlop,
it to you like that. And you're
yeah,
like,
yeah, Dunlop gave it to me. And it's the buzziest, loudest wah I've ever heard. Like, here, listen.
Oh, good.
And this is straight into the amp. Like, if I turn on, it's really loud, but when you're actually playing with it, I like it because it's not that in your face.
Yeah.
Like, here, it's just.
Yeah, give us an example. Yeah, love it.
Yeah.
Love it. Okay. That and the, I love this, the other ingredient, two phase 90s.
Yeah, well, normally I just have that one.
The little guy?
The little one. But then John took out this one, like, you have to hear this. And we discovered there's not that much of a difference between the two. I forget how old this one is.
Yeah, that looks like the original script.
I think it is.
I love that. I love that you've got that you've got the vintage one, which are really expensive, and then you've got the one you could pick up at Guitar Center.
Yeah.
For, you know, $79, and they sound the same.
I mean, yeah, there's really not. I think we ended up using the old one for some songs, but there's not that stark of a difference between them,
yeah.
in my opinion.
Yeah. Good to know. I
yeah.
love that. Save me the trouble of buying the old one. That's great. And the other one, love that little small, didn't use up a lot of space, so that's great.
Yeah, right.
And last ingredient is your Boss Digital Delay.
Yeah, this is actually John's. Normally, right here I have an Echoplex.
Yeah, the MXR.
They kind of do the same thing, but this one we've been using for more like, again, I don't like them to be that noticeable, so this one was just used to get a little bit of slap back. I forget what song you're using on those. Just kind of gives it a little.
Yeah, subtle. Yeah. And it works great with your amp reverb.
That's, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you roll in, like on most gigs, you're carrying that board, your SG, and the Deluxe, if you bring your own, or
right,
backline, roll the dice with that.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. I love that you're getting that much out of such little, just simple gear.
Yeah.
Just great guitar playing. That's
awesome.
Yeah, well, Grace, such a pleasure to meet you, and congrats on the album. I can't wait to hear it.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, of course. Okay, y'all, till next time.
I've had, if we counted them, probably 7 bad D'Addario strings in 30 years.
The reason we only stock D'Addario strings is because D'Addario strings are perfect.
It's nice to be able to depend on something.